now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slam of pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go!
Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. It is the Pancakes and Power Slam Show hosted by Crave Wrestling. I am Chris Featherstone, along always with Ryan Fuqua.
Good evening out there, everyone. Trying to pack everything into our Monday Night Express show.
Yes, absolutely. This is our Express Show Monday. Special time today, usually on Tuesdays at 11 p.m., but we've got some a special show today.
Super show.
So, of course... Yes, a super show, absolutely. So be sure to call in, 347-884-8452. Once again, the number is 347-884-8452. A couple things we're going to do this week's news. We're going to do a few stories just because of the time. One of them is Kevin Steen. He allegedly assaults two fans at the iPay-per-view. Kevin Steen is, as far as his character is concerned, he's a little loony. But what happened was he defeated Eddie Kingston at the Boiling Point pay-per-view, and then basically he had a confrontation with two fans, and a fan spit on him. And after Steen kissed another fan, and both men were hit by Steen. So it's so funny. It was one of those shows on, I don't remember what, True TV or something like that, All Worked Up or something like that. And they showed like different this repo person and ROA security guard, and they showed one episode where somebody got into an altercation with Austin Aries when he was still in ROA, so it was pretty interesting. So this is not the first go-round with ROH wrestlers getting into it with someone. Next little bit of news here is it's been a couple Twitter wars with Kurt Angle and CM Punk going around today concerning independent wrestling and TNA. CM Punk basically alluded that TNA is an independent organization, and then Angle retaliated and said, quote, Punk wants to say TNA is an indie league. I was on top in WWE when you were trying to get a job anywhere. It was my choice to go to TNA. If I ever see Punk hide in an expletive there that starts with the B. So, yeah. I don't know if, you know, the people usually say it's a work, stuff like that, but I wouldn't imagine that TNA and the WWE would have any type of cahoots. So, yeah definitely some interesting news there. And then thirdly, and lastly, we'll do for today, AEW, he has been canned. No more All World promotions. He basically got canned for the disparaging remark that he made on Kobe Bryant about the whole Colorado incident and all of that. So Yeah, I mean, you know, I have my feelings about that. Honestly, I really don't think that is I don't know. I don't think that was worth being fired for. I mean, it was, you know, it wasn't an incident to take lightly, but it was so long ago, and you know, they told him to be that type of character, you know what I mean? And they made the decision to put the mic on him and try to draw heel heat. So if he makes a comment like that, I mean, you know, you have to make light of it, if anything. So I wasn't a big fan of that.
Yeah, just WWE being PG when they want to be PG. And we only got an hour here, and, you know, we can sit and talk about that forever. So, and everything he said on Twitter has been so true about how what others have done and not gotten that type of punishment. So, I don't even want to, I don't want to start something we can't finish.
Yeah, very good call right there. Very, very true statement. So we'll get into Raw quickly. CM Punk went against the Big Show, and then other two wrestlers who held all active titles. He said the three wrestlers held active titles, and I was thinking of the other two wrestlers, and I came up with them. So I'll say them shortly. If anybody in the chat room decide to go in, or if anybody want to call and say the answer, 347-884-8452. Who are the other two wrestlers who have held all active titles other than the Big Show? I will say it here soon if nobody knows it. Then we're interrupted by Daniel Bryan, attempts to attack CM Punk and tries to attack Cena after he clotheslines Show out of the ring. AJ books attack match of Punk and Cena versus Bryan and Big Show. Then AJ books JTG in a match backstage. Before the JTG match, a little bit of the CM Punk and Big Show match. I was weirded out by the match in the beginning. I mean, I don't know. It looks like they're trying. Like, it looks like he's a heel, and they're wanting to be a tweener, and then at the end of one Raw, he'll be a heel, and he's a tweener again. I really don't know exactly what they're doing with CM Punk. I wrote an article on Bleacher Report this weekend asking the readers if CM Punk's push is too soon or not. I mean, I'm sorry, heel turn is too soon or not. And I don't know, it's been kind of weird to me. So I really didn't understand that segment that much.
I'm with you on the tweener and heel thing. This was the Punk and Show thing, pretty cool to open up with, but, you know, just a simple setup for the tag match. So it is what it is. I actually, funny thing here, I didn't tune in until about 5 or 10 minutes after 8, so I didn't get to catch this part because I actually forgot about Raw starting at 8. So what is this, like the third one, and I just forgot? Yikes on my part. I was sitting here, and I was like, hey, wait a minute, Raw's on. So, yeah. So sorry about that to our Crave Wrestling fans. That's not craving wrestling at all.
Nice play on words there. So I guess your play on words has atoned that transgression there. So then we go on to what you probably did see. AJ books the match with JTG. For those who don't know, I've mentioned that on a previous show about JTG doing a basically doing a Twitter rant about not being on the show and not be utilized, and so he gets his spot on Raw, and he kept saying 3 hours. There's 3 hours. If he was talking to Caitlin. He says the word crazy. AJ comes around and says, "Do you say crazy?" Then books him in a match against against Ryback. A couple things I saw by there. It looks like the Feed Me More is catching on, but he's still getting the Goldberg chance. He had loud Goldberg chance, but he had an even louder Feed Me More chance. So it looks like that is really catching on. Interesting thing that JTG said. He said, and I mentioned this on a previous show, like, what's up with the with the reddish eye that he has, and he's had it for a few weeks. I'm like, okay, this must be, I don't know if he's trying to infect his eye to look more robotic or something like that. It looks really weird. And JTZ said, I better not get pink eye. And it was pretty interesting that he said that. And I was like, there was something else that I noticed too, you know, the whole pink eye thing. So I don't know what they're doing that. Lastly, about this segment, Ryback has new music with vocals. And first I was like, okay, this is weird, because the pattern, the music pattern, and the tempo was pretty fitting of Ryback, but I guess I'm not gonna you know, bash it quickly. I think I may get the hang of it sooner than later.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't have changed his music. Starting to get into it. I told you I'm getting more sold on the Ryback, so that's pretty cool. Just this was JTG just getting a beat down for running his mouth via Twitter, so they went ahead fed him to Ryback. So wish granted.
Right. You get what you ask for. You got some time. There was a Piper Michaels backstage segment. Just real quickly here, I had a feeling that Shawn Michaels was going to be a sacrificial lamb tonight when he was in fear of being around Brock Lesnar. And I said, okay, well, they didn't do it last week because of the whole, you know, Shawn Michaels appreciation, and they didn't want to do that in San Antonio. But I said, oh, okay, yeah, this is going to be... this is going to be the night for that to happen. So initially, I had a feeling that it was going to be all bad for Shawn Michaels.
No need, man. I get it, but I don't know. I'll talk about that a little later when we get to the last part of Raw.
Yeah. Then we get to R-Truth defeating Heath Slater. Heath Slater is getting a little bit of pops, and I'm a Slater fan. I'm on the one-man band. I've got his latest CD, and it's pretty good. And I you know, of course he's going to job. It was, you know, of course he's going to do that. But at least he's getting some airtime. I'm cool with that. R-Truth, Kofi was away doing some promotional stuff, and R-Truth, it was a good spot for R-Truth, and then Primetime Players jumps R-Truth post-match. I guess it was a good way to get heat on the Primetime Players. It's just going to be hard for me to be sold on the Primetime Players as much without AW.
Oh, yeah. This was just an impromptu match, quick results, and a funny thing, I don't know if anyone noticed, is that Titus O'Neil actually kicked little Jimmy after the beatdown, so... I thought that was pretty funny. I was like, what is he doing? And I was like, oh, yeah, little Jimmy.
Yeah.
Gotta watch out for little Jimmy.
Yeah, little Jimmy there. Yeah, little Jimmy's got some bandages on, man. You know, it's no good for little Jimmy. Then we go. What's that?
I said he's been getting it the past few weeks.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Especially being kicked all the way outside the ring, and you know it was a tough fall, man. He was actually crying. I was feeling some sympathy for him too. So then we get Booker T gets a exclusive backstage segment after SmackDown. Cancels the Alberto Del Rio match, and Alberto Del Rio touts that he's going to have a confrontation with Booker T on SmackDown. I really don't know what this does, honestly. This doesn't elevate the feud at all for me. It's just, it looks like they just created, they didn't have much to do, you know, writing this storyline until SummerSlam, and they wanted to have some type of, we'll get to SummerSlam and what happened, but it looks like they wanted to have a little bit of buffer between now and SummerSlam with this weirdness going on about there's a chance that he won't be in the match, although I would be a fan if he wasn't in the match, but I don't see that happening at all.
Yeah, this whole thing is just bringing Sheamus down, and not any disrespect to Del Rio, it's just because we know the match will still go on. We know what the outcome will be. I mean, it's just, I don't know. Just need a little bit more for Sheamus, man. And we already know our feelings on Del Rio. So I guess the biggest thing for me was probably the little segment before that with Henry at the Olympics, and kind of made me think, like, geez, I wonder if they're going to bring him back as a face or what. So I know it was just showing that just to get some pub for the Olympics, but I don't know, man. Maybe last run.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. There was some rumblings that that may happen. We'll see. He was such a good heel, though. You know.
Yeah.
Just wow. Yeah. It was surprising. You know how good of a heel he was. And so, you know, bring him back as a face, I don't know how I feel about it. So I guess we'll just have to get there when it comes and have feelings and see when it comes. Yeah. Then we saw Sin Cara defeat Tensai. I mean, I'll tell you what, you know, he was another person. And it's interesting. I just thought about this, actually. He made his disparaging remarks, you know, about a nationality, you know, about an ethnicity, and he gets a couple of losses. But I guess AW is more expendable than Tensai. AW has way more of an interest in the public than Tensai does, so that's a little unfair to me. So I'm not a fan of that at all.
I think, and this is, you know, I'm going, I want to stay with this match, but still, I think it's kind of like how in football, you pay a quarterback some money and then the backup's better, but you keep playing the guy you paid the money, you know?
Yeah.
All the invested. And I think that's what it is. Like, they didn't let go of Tensai because of what they had invested into him, whether it be financially or storyline-wise, and they just don't want to eat their loss. And they let go AEW just because, you know, they didn't have too much invested in him and things like that. But I don't get it. Yeah, you're right. Tensai's with an actual video and a whole race, an entire race. You know, like, that's crazy to me. So,
yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, Sin Cara, as for the match, Sin Cara's on a roll, and I don't understand why this experiment is still going, and just when he beats up Sakamoto, no words, man. Hyper spit. Moving along.
Exactly. Exactly. I got so much to say, but I'm not going to. Another backstage seven from Shawn Michaels, and then, yes, the YTJ on Piper's Pit. Looks like that was very impromptu, which I liked, though. I liked that it was an impromptu type of thing. You know, both Piper and Y2J are two of the biggest, two of the most wittiest wrestlers in the history of the WWE. So it was interesting that they were both picking up, you know, on each other, and it was pretty witty and you know, off the top of their head. So I was a fan of that. Interesting little stat, though, that he said Y2J was on Piper's Pit for the first time, and yeah, wow. I did not, I wasn't thinking about that. And as much as Piper set the tone for, you know, interviewing, you know, for interviews like that, and plus he was actually in a feud with Piper, you know, in WrestleMania a few years ago. He never was on Piper's Pit, so that was a pretty interesting stat there. It was interrupted by Vicky and Ziggler, and then by The Miz. Miz tries to kick out Jericho and Piper, but Jericho clears the ring of Miz and Ziggler. And it led to a match, which Dolph Ziggler defeated Jericho and Miz. I'm actually fine with this, actually, because it really seems like Miz is going to not Miz, but Jericho's going to probably take the fall. I mean, I really hope so. But it's really leading to Jericho might get the big one. And I'll tell you what, man, it was just bridled from so long. I mean, the crowd over the past year, and even when he was a heel before, a lot of the time, I mean, people wanted to chant Jericho. They wanted to cheer Jericho, and we'll talk about why he officially making himself a babyface on SmackDown, which I was a fan of. But they really wanted to chant Jericho for quite some time, and now I'm so happy that, you know, he really has the opportunity to be a clear cut face now, and he doesn't overdo the pandering, but of course he does the come on baby and stuff like that. But the crowd absolutely loves it. I mean, people love Jericho, and he played such a good heel that he was still getting cheered, and people love to hate him. So I'm so glad. You know, I really wish that he would stay past SummerSlam, but he's not. But at the same time, man, I really wish that they could. It would have been very successful to be the face of Raw for a little bit of time before he retired. I think he would have been a great clear-cut face for Raw.
Yeah, man, the Jericho Hall Brewery is back in business, man. The Jerichoholics are back. That segment last week's SmackDown made it official. I just don't understand why they do this to us when he's leaving. So,
yeah,
I'll take two weeks worth of face Jericho any way I can get it, I guess. So, but yeah. I don't know, man. Maybe it's hard to believe anything with Jericho anymore, because they'll say one thing and then something else will happen. Like, I know he's got the tour dates, but I don't know. Maybe he'll get some work in or something. That's just my kid on Christmas Day wishing. So, yeah.
Yeah, good analogy there.
I'd love to see him and Wade Barrett getting, you know, do some work. That'd be great. Great comeback if he could just put, you know, just stay long enough to put Barrett over or something.
I would rather Orton have put Barrett over, honestly, because Jericho, Orton has more steam than Barrett, than Jericho, unfortunately, just because of, what's that?
I said, do both, man. Just put him, make him on this monster run, you know. He deserves it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he had another, he had the vignette again this week. And, you know, like I said before, I loved it. But I don't know, man. I feel you. I understand. But I would rather see, like, Orton and, you know, somebody else like, Christian, like, oh my gosh, we'll get to that soon as far as Christian's woes. But, you know, you can feed him Christian if it has to be someone, although we'll get on Christian soon. But I see your point. You know, my bias is saying no, but I definitely 100% see your point. I would be a fan of Jericho coming back to the Royal Rumble, actually winning this one, and having Barrett be the champion going into WrestleMania, and having a Chris Jericho and Wade Barrett match leading into WrestleMania 29, I'd be totally, totally in favor of that. So, that would be my, you know, kid and Christmas, you know, kid at Christmas wish. So. Then we go to Punk and Eve backstage segment, and then Michael Cena and Punk backstage segment. And then just a forgettable match, of course. Caitlin and Layla defeated Beth Phoenix and Eve. Another person who absolutely should not be losing as much as she does. I just don't understand why they are continuing to job the most dominant and the best wrestler on the women's roster right now. I mean, they're continuing to do these ridiculous booking with Beth Phoenix, and there's no way that she should lose as much as she does. And just, it's the Divas division is so pathetic these days, and I don't even understand why they would have anything with the Divas, because it's ridiculous to me.
Well, when I was looking at Caitlin, since she's not actually on TV much, as, you know, in matches, I just got to thinking why they don't. I just don't understand why they don't put the more likable divas on TV in matches anyway. And, you know, the ones that come in as actual athletes and wrestlers, and not the ones that come in as models, you know. I don't. Right. That's the main problem right there.
Yeah, very well said. I absolutely agree with that. And Caitlin definitely falls into that. She, if I'm not mistaken, she won like some. I think it was like weightlifting or bodybuilding championships before. I don't remember exactly what it was, but she's had some fitness championships before, and so she's definitely athletic. So she knows what she's doing. So, you know, you're right. I mean, bring in the athletes and push them. But right now it doesn't even matter. I haven't even seen Tamina Snuka, and they're talking about how Kelly isn't committing to a full-time schedule. So it's just the Divas division is becoming more and more forgettable every single week. And hopefully it doesn't fade out to obscurity. So that would be terrible. Then we go to Cena and Punk defeating Bryan and Cho. Interesting match there. Still don't understand the point of Bryan. I guess Kane was doing promotional work too. I'm not sure, but he wasn't on the show, and he's going against Bryan. This is the go-home show to SummerSlam, and no Kane and Bryan build. It was that was awful. But the couple interesting things was Punk and Cena mocked each other's move, and then Show and Punk abandoned their partners. Then post-match, Punk's hit Show with the title to prevent him from attacking Cena, then tries to extend his hand to Cena, but Cena doesn't shake it, and then they Josh Matthews interview Punk, and he does another heel promo. And, you know, from the article that I wrote, and I agree with it, they're making Cena just a terrible type of heel. The whiny, you know, it's going to be all about me heel. It just doesn't, it's just totally anti-Punk. It's ridiculous. I mean, even when he was with the Straight Edge Society, he was more, he had more of an elitist mentality, I'm better than you, you know, type of thing, and that garnered some boos. But this type of heel with Punk is just totally, I'm not buying it at all.
No, it's, we don't know what it is each week, so I agree. Other than Punk and Cena mocking each other in this match, this wasn't anything special at all. Yikes. Only other thing was nice dig, though, by Punk saying Cena learned a new move in the little interview after the match. I thought that was funny, so I guess now he has the six moves in his repertoire there.
Yeah, that's funny. Then we see Damian Sandow defeating Christian. Oh my goodness, I do not understand why they are continuing to just feed Christian these ridiculous losses. I mean, what has he done to, you know, to make the writers and Vince and everybody in between he was a great Intercontinental Champion, loses the Intercontinental Champion, and then he just goes on a losing streak. I mean, he didn't lose it on SmackDown, but post-match, you know, he got beat down. But I just don't understand why they're doing this with Christian. It's ridiculous to me. I don't understand it. He is, like I keep saying, he's a shoe-in Hall of Famer, and this guy does not deserve the treatment that he is getting. I'm sick of it, and I'm very, very just livid about the fact that they're just treating Christian like some random mid-carder, which, you know, this guy's a legend in the making.
Yeah, I definitely agree with all that, but in this instance, man, he's going up against Sandow, and I told you, as I stated last week, I am super sold on Sandow now. He's up there in my top, wow, I won't say top five, but he's up there in my top 10. I mean, it's, I don't know what else to say, man. I'm super sold on Sandow. So anybody else, though, I probably would have been mad that Christian lost, but I'm just way too sold on Sandow right now. Way too sold.
understand the Sandow, and if anybody have any comments, feel free to call 347-884-8452. The chat room's up. Comments going in the chat room that I will read. And feel free to comment, and I will definitely read it if it is worthy to be read live on air here. But the interruption by Brodus Clay, okay, it looks like they're leading to a SummerSlam match. I said before, you know, I'm cool with that. The whole Brodus Clay limping thing, okay, he's getting a disadvantage, so I guess it makes sense why Brodus Clay would probably job to Damon Sandow. Okay, I can understand that. But you're right as far as, like, Damon Sandow's build and everything. But at the same time, you know, they could have picked somebody different than Christian. I mean, it really made Christian look like just some random mid-carder. And, like, a random mid-carder is Tyson Kidd, unfortunately, but that's how it is right now. Tyson Kidd is a random mid-carder that they could have used in this match. Zack Ryder, you know, unfortunately, as a random mid-carder right now, unfortunately, but he has a little bit of sting. And that they could have used somebody like Ryder. So I don't like the fact that they used Christian.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah. Then we see a backstage segment from Shawn Michaels runs into Brock Lesnar. And then we see the Triple H and Brock Lesnar contract signing. Triple H not there initially because of flight delay. And Paul Heyman gives a pretty thorough speech as he always does, very good on the mic. HBK comes out, and then Triple H, in suit, had some pink shirt chants. They both sign a contract, and Lesnar throws it to Triple H and walks away. That led to a Triple H and HBK backstage segment, and then Stryker interviews Big Show in the parking lot, and stops the interview because of Heyman and Michaels' car accident. Lesnar pulls Michaels out of the car and beats up Michaels when camera's black, and then it goes back, and a bunch of wrestlers are outside. Triple H asks AJ where Shawn is, and AJ said Lesnar dragged him away, and then we go back to Lesnar bringing Michaels to the ring, F5s him, and puts him in the Kimura lock. Triple H come out and gets threatened by Heyman and Lesnar break break HBK's arm, and then Lesnar breaks it anyway and runs away from Triple H. I wasn't really a big fan of this segment leading to one of the biggest pay-per-views of the year. I'm still not sold on the Triple H and Brock Lesnar feud. I don't know. I mean, just the hype of it. I'm just not. Honestly, I'm a bigger fan, and WWE announced that the Miz will go against Rey Mysterio for the Intercontinental title. I'm actually a bigger proponent right now of just the mid-card matches. I'm not sold on the WWE title match at all. I'm not sold on the World Heavyweight title match at all. I'm not sold on Lesnar and Lesnar and Triple H. I'm just the three biggest matches of the night. I mean, for it to be SummerSlam, I'm just not sold on it. And so, of course, I'm going to watch it because that's what I do as a journalist. But at the same time, it's not really something for me to look forward to heading into SummerSlam. We'll get to predictions later.
Yeah, ADR and Sheamus, definitely not sold. WWE title match, I'm actually okay with that, and I'll tell you why in my predictions later. But as for this Brock and Trip, I mean, it's 6 days until SummerSlam, and I'm still not excited. I could care less now, and before I was on it, you know, until they started it. But and then they make it seem like it's going to be the main event of SummerSlam, so
yeah. Yikes indeed. Feel free to call in 347-884-8452 for your Raw or SmackDown. There's a lot going on this week, the past week of wrestling. Hardcore Justice, Impact Wrestling, of course, ROH. Fight of the Week this week is going to be CM Punk. Chronicling CM Punk's WWE career. And basically 347-884-8452 is the number to call. Feel free to call in. And we'll go to SmackDown here. Booker T in-ring segment makes Sheamus apologize to Alberto Del Rio. Sheamus comes out and apologizes, and he's interrupted by Alberto Del Rio. And Alberto Del Rio agrees to World Heavyweight Championship match on SmackDown. Sin Cara defeats Cody Rhodes. Daniel Bryan in-ring promo interrupted by Kane, then AJ. AJ makes Daniel Bryan shake Kane's hand. Bryan extends his hand, but Kane hits him, and they go back and forth before Bryan runs. Jinder Mahal defeats two jobbers in light of Ryback, mocking Ryback. Post-match interruption by Ryback, who puts the two jobbers in his finisher. Then we see a Chris Jericho highlight reel, and Vicky comes out, goes back and forth with Jericho. Then we saw Jericho officially announcing the return of Y2J and accepts the challenge versus Ziggler at SummerSlam. Then he was attacked by Ziggler. Primetime Players defeated Primo and Epico by disqualification to be number one contenders. Christian defeats Antonio Cesaro and then gets attacked by Cesaro post-match. Booker T schedules a match next week between Caitlyn and Eve. The winner gets to be his assistant. Rey Mysterio defeats Miz. Sheamus defeats Alberto Del Rio. Sheamus attacked by, Alberto Del Rio and Sheamus was a no contest. Sheamus was attacked by the fake cops and got a beatdown by Alberto Del Rio. And then, like I said, we saw on Raw that Booker T canceled the match. I know it's not going to stick, but I surely hope so. I surely hope it's some type of bring the Scrambler back. Heck, I mean, you know, if Alberto Del Rio wants to be a part of the match, that's fine. But, you know, bring back the Championship Scrambler and you know, have seven. Just, you know, there's seven legit superstars that could be in that match. Sin Cara is not in the match. Cody Rhodes not in the match. You know, there's four right there, counting Alberto Del Rio and Sheamus. And I'm sure that they can try to get three more. Tensai, Tyson Kidd, and Christian. There you go. There's seven. So it could work if so. And then, you know, decent show. Still not really, you know, a good SmackDown to build SummerSlam much. Looks like the build that they have was Ryback and Jinder Mahal, which it seems like they're keeping exclusive to SmackDown for some reason. I don't understand that. And so, you know, decent SmackDown show, but not something that is, you know, was worth being, you know, thrilled about.
Yeah, the best thing, the SmackDown, I guess, definitely will have to be the Spinneroonie at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't happen often anymore, if ever, so that was pretty cool. I think Rose and Sin Cara could be something. AJ on SmackDown is just confusing. They definitely need to stay away from that. More Hawks and Rex, please, more Hawks and Rex. And Mahal and Ryback, real good. I'm okay with that being exclusive to SmackDown. And also, Jericho with the extremely expensive Jerritron 6000 now.
6000.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. And I also like how he kind of subliminally shouted out A-Rod there. I know he talked about him only winning one match, but he's still kind of subliminally in the past 2 weeks, he's kind of shouted out A-Rod. So, and then we get our a meaningful Divas match next week. This is probably the most meaningful Divas match in a long time. So that's pretty crazy. And then also just shocked to see Sheamus dominated again. That doesn't happen often. and Daniel Bryan, I hopefully he wins Sunday, because I don't know what happens with him after SummerSlam. He could be, different things could be coming for him.
Yeah. We're going to put Derek, our Raw correspondent, here on the air, and let us know what you thought of Raw, Derek, and we'll analyze what you have to say.
Raw was good and bad tonight. It was okay. Christian jobbing was the worst thing I'd ever seen in my life, to that dude in the pink tights. I don't understand any of that. Shawn Michaels and Triple H look like the Hardy Boys tonight. They were just like two, I don't know. What are they doing to Shawn Michaels? Why does he deserve all that? And why does Brock Lesnar deserve whatever he's getting? I understand the Triple H and Brock Lesnar matches. They're building it up. And they built it up a little better tonight with Shawn taking a fall, but I'm still not excited, so what's it worth anything? And Chris Jericho, he did a great job tonight. However, Piper's Pit was handled horribly. And if I was Piper, I would never be on WWE TV again. What's up? Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, Derek. Thanks a lot. Derek, our Raw correspondent. And, yeah, it was, like I said, it was on the top of the head for the Piper's Pit. And it was pretty interesting there. I think Piper and Jericho was pretty interesting, and Piper just started saying just a bunch of ad-libs that were just awkward. He started chanting Y2J when it's just like the unspoken rule that just you have to remain silent just about when someone's music comes on. But that Piper didn't care. He kept talking, and it was a pretty interesting and off the top of the off the cuff type of Piper's Pit that we saw on Raw.
Yeah, I agree with him about Tripp and HBK. Man, they definitely looked way too vulnerable out there. I don't understand it.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely. Then we'll go to Impact Wrestling, and then we'll go straight to Hardcore Justice. Impact Wrestling, we saw Bully Ray in a ring promo, interrupted by James Storm, and Bully Ray backs out, but Aces and Eights interrupt on big screen. RVD defeats Magnus, Bound for Glory series. Daniels and Kazarian beat D-Von and Garrett Bischoff, tag team title match. Robbie E in a ring promo, interrupted by Jeff Hardy. Hardy tries to fend for himself, but eventually gets powerbombed through a table by Robbie T. Angle defeats AJ Styles in a phenomenal match, which I definitely thought was going to be that good. Miss Taskmacher defeats Gail Kim. We saw Aries and Rude contract signing, and Bully Ray defeats James Storm. Then we move over to Hardcore Justice, which Chavo, Guerrero, and Hernandez defeats Kid Cash and Gunner. RVD defeated Magnus and Mr. Kennedy in a False Count Anywhere match. The Pope was supposed to be a part of the four-way. They had three four-way stipulation matches for Hardcore Justice. Pope attacked pre-match by the Aces and Eights. D-Von defeats Kazarian for the TV title, retains the TV title. Madison Rain defeats Miss Taskmacher and wins her fourth knockout championship. Bully Ray defeats Jeff Hardy and James Storm, Robbie E in a tables match. Each winner of the four-way matches received 20 points for this evening. Two appearances by Aces and Eights match, and actually they gave the thumbs up to James Storm. Zema Ion defeats Kenny King. AJ Styles and Samoa Joe. AJ Styles defeats Samoa Joe, Kurt Angle, and Christopher Daniels in the ladders match. Big kudos to Christopher Daniels for taking so many bumps in that match. Austin Aries defeats Bobby Roode. Bobby Roode does not get a rematch. And first it was a double pin, and out comes Earl Hebner to restart the match. And then Bobby Roode ends up losing on the restart. It was a solid pay-per-view. It wasn't anything huge. It wasn't Slammiversary caliber, but You know, TNA continued to put on solid pay-per-views. I don't have many complaints. The appearances by the Aces and Eights to me was really weird, especially threatening Bully Ray to be out for him during the pay-per-view and really didn't do much of anything for him. I don't know if I want to. There's still some skepticism of who's behind the Aces and Eights, but there's one person that I haven't seen in a while that I was kind of looking through the mask a little bit, and kind of looks like one of the people who, yeah, I don't think I want to spoil it for anybody because I don't know who it is, but I don't want to give it away if it's really him. I think I'll wait, and if it's really him, I guess I'll say, yeah, that's who it was. I don't know. I may say something about it in the next show, but I think I know who one of them is. And then just the Bound for Glory series concept, I just love it. There's an article on Bleacher Report that didn't really like it, but I don't see anything. I don't have anything negative to say about the Bound for Glory series. It makes every TNA Impact Wrestling show worth watching because it's really good quality matches. Anybody's susceptible to lose, so it shows that the talent's on an even playing field. And then it makes their pay-per-views more relevant instead of just having regular matches and then main event matches. They have multiple Bound for Glory series matches to make, you know, each pay-per-view worth something. Like, for instance, the next pay-per-view is No Surrender, and that's the final four of the Bound for Glory series, you know, to find out the number one contender, which leads to October. And so the strategy and the writing leading, you know, to the big pay-per-view and using this Bound for Glory series is a great concept. This is the second year, and I definitely think that they should continue this concept.
Yeah, the BFG series, I mean, it kind of reminds me of how qualifying matches on King of the Ring, you know, on Raw would be, you know, that much more interesting, like back in the, let's say, the 90s, because for a while there, King of the Ring, even in the 2000s, they weren't doing as many matches. But, yeah, it definitely makes you pay attention more. Chavo in this opener here, though, was really, I mean, I don't know, it got me pumped up. Like, I was really excited. So that was pretty cool, him opening up the pay-per-view. And then just because of time, only other thing here, Austin Aries, not the outcome I wanted. I mean, I'm not totally upset, but my loyalties are to Rude more than Aries. But I don't know, man. I guess they have faith in him, you know, going into next month. And then you said after that, Bound for Glory. So we'll see how that goes and, you know, who wins, you know, by the most points and everything. So should be interesting.
It should be indeed. Quickly, we'll go to ROH. Kyle O'Reilly defeats Matt Taven. A crazy Fujiwara armbar by Kyle O'Reilly. He's really playing a no-nonsense heel now. Rhino defeats Todd Sopel. Bravado Brothers return from their stint in Japan. Defeats Roderick Strong and Michael Elgin. More dissension between Elgin and Roderick Strong. Really looks like Elgin is moving further and further into that, closer and closer to the face turn. The main event saw Jay Lethal and All Night Express defeat Kevin Steen, Steve Corino, and Jimmy Jacobs. Post-match beat down by Steen, Corino, and Jacobs. Interesting to see. There's always programming comes on Saturday and Sunday in Ohio, and where we're at in Ohio. And so basically we saw on the same day, Kenny King on both the Hardcore Justice pay-per-view and on ROH. So basically that really shows, like I said, that the taping of ROH, I know the production, they can do what they have to do, but yeah, just something has to be done. I mean, clearly Kenny King is no longer with the ROH, but they're still putting him on the show.
Yeah, same thing with Del Rey. a couple weeks ago, how we seen her. And yeah, so same thing for me. ROH, man, your programming just has to get better. Just spend the cash. You got to spend money to make money.
There it is, right there. Then we'll go quickly to the predictions for SummerSlam. First off, we'll go with the pre-show announced today. Santino Marella versus Antonio Cesaro. For some reason, I think that since Morella's been on a losing streak, he may win. But it looks like they've got a lot of stock in Cesaro. So I'm going to say Cesaro's going to pull this out. I don't think he's ready to have a second-tier title yet. But it looks like they're having a little bit of stock in him. So I think I'm going to go with Cesaro, actually.
Yep, Cesaro. And I believe this will be the first title change on a pre-show.
Yes, indeed it will be if he wins. Then we'll Intercontinental Championship, Miz versus Rey Mysterio. It's been weird because Rey Mysterio lost on Raw, and then they were hyping his match on SmackDown just about the whole show, like he just returned or he didn't lose a few days before. It was kind of weird to me. I don't see Mysterio winning. I think they'll have the Miz retain the title.
As much as I don't, not a fan, I'm going with Mysterio.
Okay. Interesting. Then we'll see the tag team champions, Kofi Kingston and R-Truth, against the Primetime Players. There's a part of me that believe that if AW was with the Primetime Players, they may have won. But I think it might have been just a change in direction. I think Primetime Players' stock is definitely diminishing since AW is not with them. And I definitely think Kofi and R-Truth will retain.
Yep, Kofi and R-Truth and Primetime Players will be back down south in Florida soon.
Kane versus Daniel Bryan. This is a tough one to me. I'm going to go with Kane just because Daniel Bryan can lose and still do his whole no thing that he's been doing. So because of that, I think Kane will take the fall.
I actually think Daniel Bryan will win and just be a mid-carder after this. I don't know what they're going to do with him and AJ or what, but two different shows, so. Daniel Bryan.
Then Chris Jericho versus Dolph Ziggler. Like I've been saying, I think Jericho is going to take this only because I think Ziggler, I think we won't see Ziggler just once on this evening. So I believe that Chris Jericho will take the fall, win the big one, and go out on a winning side.
Same thoughts exactly. Y2J over old Ziggy.
Then we'll see CM Punk against John Cena against Big Show. Punk retains to me. I don't see Cena or Show keeping this. I think eventually Cena will beat CM Punk. But I don't see John Cena keeping the belt from August till maybe Royal Rumble. I think it's going to be my night thing like that. I think CM Punk will be victorious at SummerSlam.
I'm going Cena here, man. Big one of the big four. So I don't know. I'm going Cena. I think something different got to happen, and it's got to happen now here, Cena.
Yeah, I can see Cena 1 and 2. It was tough for me to decide, but part of me just thinks that they're not going to do that yet. World Heavyweight Champion matches up in the air, so we'll see where that goes. And finally, Triple H versus Brock Lesnar. I see Brock Lesnar losing this match. He falls another victim to a WWE, a legit WWE superstar and Triple H, and I don't see why Triple H would put Lesnar over. So I would say Triple H.
I'm actually going to be shocking here and go Lesnar. I think this is the only way that Triple H will be gone and take time off of TV for a while. That's the only reason I'm picking Lesnar.
Yeah, like, interesting. All right, we've got a few minutes left, and we will go to the flavor of the week.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about CM Punk and how my feelings had changed over a course of a year, you know, and some change on him. For me, it was just amazing how just his theme and one promo just put him over the top. You know, maybe not just for me, but for everybody else. I mean, he changed up his music. You know, he did that promo last year. Put him over the top. Because before, I won't say I didn't like him. I just didn't really pay attention to him much. And then also, I would think, too, maybe the haircut and the beard kind of helped out, too, you know, because I've even, you know, quoted Stone Cold as saying, you know, you got to have the look. Your gear and all that, even though he's the main one that would just wear all black. But and then, too, also, I wondered if he hadn't got hurt and did that commentary, would they ever let him do the mic thing? Because that's mainly probably when they found out, like, hey, this guy is really good on the mic. I know that's when I had really found out, when he was doing commentary. And a lot of his best mic work, you probably have to go back and YouTube it, was when he was on the NXT, the Divas version. I think that's season 3. He was commentating, and he was just comical on that. So if you ever want to look for good stuff, just YouTube CM Punk, NXT commentary, and I'm sure great stuff will come up. And quietly, you know, he's won the World Heavyweight title, the WWE title, 2 Money in the Banks. So I guess all he would need to do is win a Rumble or something and, you know, really be up there. And then long championship
ECW reign. Title.
Yeah, ECW as well. Long championship reign, and that's shocking when titles aren't held that long anymore. So, like I said, we'll see come SummerSlam if he can complete it and have the title for, I guess, what, like, 10 months out of the year, so that'd be pretty crazy. And then lastly, I think he's got the Triple H syndrome where he can never be a legit heel again. Like, he'll get booed, but when his music comes on, you know, fans cheer and they want to, you know, love to hate type thing. So I think he's put himself up there where he can't, you know, that's what I call the Triple H syndrome, where you're a heel, but they still love you.
Yeah.
And that's my feelings on Punk for the year.
Awesome. Yeah, I definitely concur with everything that you just said. And I definitely think that he had a meteoric rise. Definitely, he was seeing a little bit of a downfall, and he's kind of getting stale as a heel for a while. Then he basically, his contract was legitimately expiring, and they really couldn't come to anything because he wasn't really a top guy at the time. And yeah, I mean, he was going to go walking, and they realized that he probably is worth more than what they're using him for, and that's what it took to just make him the star that he is now. So big kudos to CM Punk for having some guts to say I'm walking. So awesome. Thanks so much for listening. Of course, CraveWrestling@gmail.com for any Flavor of the Week topics. Next week, Flavor of the Week is the worst factions in WWE history. That'll be interesting to talk about. Crave Wrestling, follow at Crave Wrestling on Twitter. Like Crave Wrestling on Facebook. And finally, I didn't forget the other two people to have all of the active titles were Kurt Angle and Edge. So Those are the three people that Michael Cole was talking about. So thanks so much for being with us, and we will be with you next week, regular time, 11 p.m. on Tuesday, 347-884-8452. Have a great week. We'll be here next week. Goodbye.